We're back in the Gospel of Matthew. The last time we took a little break for Easter. And we remember that Jesus had cleansed the temple and that he had begun to address the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And really, for the next two chapters, he's going to lay it on pretty thick. He's going to give them a hard time. Now, it isn't just because he wants to be saucy or mean or anything like that. It's because he had been gracious to them all this time, and still they weren't repenting. Still they weren't turning. So in a sense, Jesus begins to turn up the heat. And he begins to speak to them about, listen, do you guys really know what you're doing? Do you understand the peril that you're putting yourself in? And the last time we were together, we looked at the parable of the man who planted the vineyard, you remember? And he had planted a vineyard, he let it out to people, and he went every time. He said, I'll send servants back to get, you know, see how the vineyard's coming. And they persecuted the servants, they killed the servants, and finally they killed his son. And he was telling them, that's you. You're rejecting the good news. You're rejecting the message. And now in Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, Jesus says another parable to them. It's a parable of the wedding feast, and it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready, come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. When the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And he said to his servants, the wedding's ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. The king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. It's quite a parable. And parables were told, a story was told to teach a lesson to the people who were hearing it. And of course, the Holy Spirit didn't just want it to be heard by the people who were hearing it. He wanted us to hear the word of God too. And so he gives the picture about the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. We had a lot of parables earlier in the Gospel of Matthew about the kingdom of heaven. Now he's back on it again. The kingdom of heaven is like. It's like this. That is, to be in the kingdom of heaven, there are certain things that need to happen. And he gives an illustration. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like this wedding feast that a king prepares. And he gets it all ready for people, but somehow something happens. Their invitations are given out, the excitement is on, everybody's getting ready for the wedding, and as the invitations come out, all of a sudden, the people that are invited start sending notes back or making it known, not coming. And they give reasons for why they weren't coming. Someone said, I prepared my dinner. I can't come, I've got my dinner prepared. That's, you know, I don't know what you think about that, but you might be a little insulted if somebody said that. Oh, my oxen and my fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Oh, that's not where I'm at. I'm sorry. Here's where we are. They went later their ways. One said, I've got to go to my farm. Another said to his business. And then even the rest of them, they treated them spitefully and killed some of the servants that were sent. So he says, look, the kingdom of heaven is kind of like this. God has prepared a wonderful feast. Now that wonderful feast that God has prepared is to be in heaven with him. That's to be with God forever. And God has made the preparations. Now what preparations has God made in order for you to be able to get into heaven? That's what he's done. You see, in order to prepare a wedding feast in those days, You didn't go to the refrigerator and pull out a steak or two. You went to the field and you took the cow and the calf and the goats and the whatever it was. Weren't no pigs because the Jews didn't deal with pigs. And you brought them into the slaughter yard. You killed them right there. You dressed them there. And you prepared the meat there. And as soon as it was ready, what did you have to do with that meat? You eat it. You couldn't say, oh, well, we'll put it in the fridge for tomorrow. It had to be eaten immediately or else it would go to spoil. So animals were killed and they were slaughtered and they were eaten. The temperature was warm. Everything had to be done immediately. So the preparations were all done. And when those preparations were done, there was no saying, we'll do it a little bit later on. Everything was ready. It had to be done then. So what happens was, when you had a wedding feast, you had a pre-invitations were sent out. And in the pre-invitations, people said they were coming. Because you had to plan for the guests. You know how it is. Sometimes you're going to prepare a meal. You want people to say they're coming ahead of time. It's really hard to do that, isn't it? Very difficult to plan for that. But that's what they were doing. They were saying, okay, because you couldn't put it in the fridge. You get it? So these people said they were coming. Oh, yes, I'll be there. Oh, yes, I'm coming. Oh, yeah. No, you can be sure of that. I'll be there. Right? But when the time came, none of them showed up. None of them showed up. Now, the Lord is giving this illustration, firstly, to the Jewish people. Because God had been preparing the Jewish people for hundreds, thousands of years that the king was coming. That Jesus was going to come on the scene. The Messiah was going to come. And he was going to come to save them. And here he was in front of them. And what were they doing? All along there was, oh, we worship God. Oh, we love God. The Pharisees were saying that. Oh, we go to church. We're religious. We do this. We do that. That's what they were like. But when the time came, when they were confronted with Jesus Christ, when the opportunity came for them, in a sense, to be spiritually married to Jesus Christ, what did they do? They rejected him. They wanted nothing to do with him. And Jesus was warning them and saying, listen, you've got to respond now. The time is now. Now is the time. Everything is prepared. Everything is ready. But we can see here that some of them made excuses. And you know, this reminds me of the other story in the Gospel of Luke. And here's what it says in the Gospel of Luke. As Jesus was sitting at a dinner, and someone said, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. He said, whoa, wouldn't it be nice that we'll be in the kingdom of God someday? And here's what Jesus said. He said to them, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Okay, so the supper, they were already invited. They knew that it was on and the time was ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. Not just one or two, but they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I have to go and see it. I ask, have me excused. I can't come. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Do you think? I bought a piece of land. I got to go see it. Was the land going to run away? I don't think so. I got 5 yoke of oxen. Were they going to run away? I don't think so. I got a wife. Is she going to run away? If she is, something's wrong already. Right? That too. Feeble excuses. Desperate excuses. Anything but coming to God. It's amazing in our world today. Everybody will make excuses. And the Jews had all kinds of excuses why Jesus wasn't the one. And why they wouldn't trust him. And why they wouldn't come to him. But the results were catastrophic for them. And here, if we see the excuses that were given here, the same pattern is given in this story that Jesus gives here. The servant came and reported these things to his master. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, you know that God does get angry? God does get angry. Everybody wants to think of God as just a loving God, but God can get very angry. He has poured out his judgment and his wrath in times past, and in the last days, he will pour out his wrath again, his anger. The Bible speaks about the wrath of Jesus Christ, the wrath of the Lamb. Yes, the kind and loving Savior, the one who turned the other cheek, the one who allowed them to weep and to beat and whip him to death, he will come and he will judge the world. with anger. God is always angry at sin, friends. He is so angry at sin that he poured out that anger on his own son at the cross. So he doesn't have to pour it out on you. But if you don't accept the invitation that's given, then you're going to miss and you're going to experience the anger of a mighty God. God doesn't want that to happen. So he sends out an invitation. He makes it plain. He gives plenty of notice ahead of time. Before that day comes, before the day of your death comes, before the time comes when there's no more time to respond, God is saying, come to me now. Trust in me now. If you trust me now, then you're okay. Then you're going to enter into that feast. Then you're going to have all that I have for you. Everything has been prepared. The Son of God came into the world at the right time. The Son of God proved himself by his miracles. And we'll be talking about that in Pleasant Bay tonight. All the witnesses that point to Jesus Christ and who he is. The multiple witnesses that God has raised up to testify that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But all of this was done, and finally he goes to the cross, and he makes the ultimate payment for our sins. Everything is done. All things are now ready. Nothing else has to be done for you to be saved. You don't have to go out and prepare. I'm invited to a feast. I don't have to go and cook something. You know, if Florence invites me for something to eat, I don't say, when I'm going down there, I got to make sure that I take my own food. Because I know that when I go down to Florence's, she's going to feed me well. I don't think anybody's ever walked out of Florence's hungry. And if you have, it's your own fault. That's for sure. And so when you don't prepare that feast. You don't bring food unless that's what they want you to do. But if not, if they say, look, I'm preparing the feast. It's all done. It's all ready. You come and dine. That's what God has done. He's prepared the way for heaven for us. The foolish thing is that many people think that they're going to work their way to heaven. They think, if I'm good enough, I'll get to heaven. If I have to do this and do this and do this and do this. No, what you got to do is come. Jesus has done everything to get you into heaven. Everything is done. You just need to come. How sad it is that so many people don't come. But I'll tell you what, there's an urgency to that coming. Now is always the time to come. Now is always the time. Because you don't know if you have tomorrow. Let me ask you a simple question today. Have you come to the feast? Have you accepted personally Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, then come now. Accept him in your heart. Believe that he is your Savior and that your sins are paid for. And heaven is guaranteed to you. The feast is waiting. The great wedding. You know, the Bible says we, the church, are like the bride of Christ. We are the ones who are married to Jesus when we become Christians. And so what happens? These people refuse to come. As a result of that, the servant came, reported the things to his master. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Luke 14:21, go out quickly, urgent. You see the urgency? Into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Bring in everybody. Bring in the ones that are broken. Bring in the ones who have nothing. Bring those in. Why would he say that? Why did he say those? Bring those people? No kidding. Listen, if I'm sitting by the roadside and I haven't got enough food to warm my belly, and somebody comes along and says, whoa, buddy, you're invited to a free meal. Everything's all laid out for you. You want to come? What do you think he's going to do? He's going to jump and run, right? Meanwhile, all the proud ones, all the haughty ones, all the independent ones, not going. So he says, go get them. They'll come. They'll come. You know, God is going to fill his hell, his heaven. He's going to fill his heaven. But sadly, it's not going to be filled with those self-sufficient people who independently don't think they need God, who stay away, who think that they can do it on their own, who think they don't need him. But listen, when you're desperate, when you're broken, when you're ruined, when you don't know what to do with yourself, God's there. And he's saying, you come, and he will fill his house. The servant said to the master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Oh, I love that. Though millions have come, an old hymn said, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, thank God. Isn't it wonderful that today there's still room? Isn't that good to know? If there was no more room, Jesus would come back right now. It says he's all over, friends. And if you're on the wrong side of things, it's too late. There's no getting on the right side of things then. But if you're on the right side of things, then what should we be doing? We're the servants, friends. The servant said to the master, done his command, and still there's room. The master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Go and find some more. Boy, that's what we need to be doing. Go find some more. Urge people to come in. Now, I'm not just telling them, urge them to come to church. It's a good thing. Come and hear the word of God. Urge them to come to Jesus. You can come to church and still go to hell. This is an opportunity to hear the word of God. But you can come to church and you can go to church every Sunday. But if you don't respond to Jesus and trust him in your own heart, you'll go right to hell. All the church in the world won't get you to heaven. Jesus is the only one. By trusting in him, we have eternal life. Nothing less than that, friends. And so the servant went out, and he was told to go out and compel them. It's like, there's an urgency to this. There's a desperate urgency. This has to get done. I think I read something, and I have a quote of it here somewhere. Where is it at? If sinners be damned, this is Spurgeon, great writer. If you ever look him up, you'll just enjoy him. If sinners are going to be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. Did you get that? If sinners are going to be damned, let them leap to hell over our bodies. In other words, let's stand in the way. Let's cry out to them. Let's say, don't go down that road. Come this way. Jesus is waiting. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let's grab a hold of them. Let no one go there unwarned or unprayed for. Yeah. Let no one go there unwarned or unprayed for. Don't let it happen. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Man, that was the heart that Spurgeon had. That's the heart that God has. That's the heart that he has. Get in the way. And here he was warning the Pharisees again and again and again that some might turn. And you know that at the end of the story, there were Pharisees who did believe. Nicodemus was one of them. And there were others. There was Joseph of Arimathea was another religious ruler, or wealthy man who trusted in the Lord. And we find even in the book of Acts, there were some that believed. You know that Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he became a believer. These warnings did produce good effect in some, but for the most part, the Jewish people rejected Jesus. And as we read the story back in Matthew's gospel, it tells us that the king was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed the murderers and burned up their city. This was almost a prophecy, because the rejection of Jesus Christ, did you know that in 70 A.D., Titus came and destroyed, leveled Jerusalem. Their city was destroyed. And the Jewish people were scattered across the face of the planet for almost 2,000 years. Terrible that they had rejected the salvation that was offered to them through Jesus Christ. I just tell you, invite people to the banquet. Invite them to the wedding. You know, a banquet and a wedding is a wonderful thing to be invited to. We're not inviting people to, you know, a bed of nails. We're inviting them to a wonderful thing. And we're inviting them to heaven, to be with God for eternity, and to enjoy his presence and to walk with him. But these lame excuses that come up. And not only we see one group making excuses, but then we see another group that were violently opposed. And you're going to find all kinds of reactions to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some, thank God, are going to ask for more. They want to know more about this. Others are going to say, I know I need to be saved. Then there's others who are going to say, I don't want nothing to do with that. And then there's others who are going to say, I don't want you to be telling anybody about this. Whatever the reactions are out there, let's have that heart that says, I'm going to stand in the roadway for lost sinners to be saved. I'm going to grab by the legs. Now, of course, you got to be a little bit wise about that. Yeah.
True.
Absolutely. The Bible says that most people will be lost because they love their sin more than they love God. That's why. Yeah, it's true. All those reasons are true. But at least let's be faithful to them and make sure they understand the consequences. That's all we can do. And pray. Pray, pray for them. We're going to get to him. But what was he going to say? We're going to get to that one there. We didn't get there yet. Yeah. Yeah. And so we see that the invitations are given. It was rejected. These people didn't get there. Then there were some finally who did come. They filled, the wedding was filled, and the other one, the feast was filled. They all, God filled his house. But he gives another illustration here, and it's a warning. It is a warning, and here's what it is. So the wedding hall was filled with guests, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Well, in those days, when the Jews had a wedding, it's like a white bathrobe. All the men were given a wedding garment. And they all had a wedding garment on. So it wasn't like this guy was sneaking around in there. He was in there without a wedding garment. He stuck out like a sore thumb. Right? Nobody did anything about it. He was there. So the king comes in, looks around. This guy sticks out. He's got no wedding garment on. He goes and says to him, "How'd you get in here without one of them?" He had no answer. He had no answer. Now what Jesus is doing is giving them a very clear illustration. You have to come my way. You can't come another way. You know, Jesus talked about the sheepfold and he said, anybody that climbs over the wall is a thief or a robber. This guy, he got in the wrong way. You know, I mean, when I was young, something was going on. I wanted to get into it. If it was a party, if it was a concert, an outdoor concert, we devised ways of sneaking into these things, getting under the fence, piling people in the trunks of cars, all kinds of stuff like that. Getting in some way without paying, right? Going in the wrong way. Now, I'm not endorsing this, okay? Right? Well, that's what this guy did. He snuck in. He thought he could get in without the garment. But at the door, when you came, you were given the wedding garment. You were given one because you were a guest. And so there was no problem. Anybody that came in by the door, they got the wedding garment. This guy came in some other way. He thought he could sneak in, right? But he didn't have a garment on. But he figured, well, I'm here now. I guess I'm okay. Right? Until the king takes one look at him and goes to him and says, "How did you get in here without a wedding garment?" What could he say? The king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Now you know he's not just talking about a wedding. Because if some guy got in without, got in the wedding, they might just throw him out. But he's showing us that, listen, if you don't come into heaven God's way, you don't get into heaven. If you don't come God's way, you don't get in at all. You have to make sure you have a wedding garment on. Now, what kind of garment does God offer to us? Spiritual garment. What does he give you? The Holy Spirit. Jesus. You got to be born again. Repent of our sins. In the Old Testament, it's called a robe of righteousness. The Bible says their garments were washed white in the blood of the Lamb in the book of Revelations. And so what happens? When you come to Jesus Christ and you accept him as your Savior, God spiritually clothes you with himself. You know, in the book of Romans, it says this in chapter 12, it says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." Put Christ on. That's what to be clothed with Christ, it says. And so, yes, God clothes you with Jesus. His righteousness becomes yours. So God looks at you and he sees the pure white perfection of Christ. You can't get into heaven without this. If you don't have that robe on today, then you need to get it on as quick as you can, because God is handing them out. He's saying, here, I'm offering you wedding garments today. I'm offering you wedding garments that will approve you into heaven itself. You got to get it on this side. You can't say, when I die, I'll turn to the Lord. When I die, then I'll trust in Him. Nobody knows what's going to happen on the other side. Nobody's been there to tell us. Is that true? No, somebody has died and rose from the dead, and He has told us exactly what's on the other side. And He's telling us now, take the garment. Get your robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Trust in Jesus right now. If you trust Him now, He will save you now. You can know you're going to heaven. You can be sure of it. What joy you can have in your soul to know that. It's settled. Long ago, down on my knees, I settled it all. It may not be long ago for you. It could be this morning. You could say, okay, Lord, I'm settling it all, because I don't want to be the one who's bound hand and foot and taken away and cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, I don't want to be the one. But listen, there will be many who will be there. Many who refuse to come God's way. Well, I got my own religion. I was talking to somebody this week. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it. You got your religion, I got my religion, everybody's got their own beliefs, and it's all okay. What a pile of crock. It isn't okay. The truth will not change because you want it to change. I find that so ridiculous. It doesn't work. It would be absolutely folly if you went that way. What if I decided I believed that I could jump out of a car at 100 miles an hour and I would be perfectly all right? People have tried this, by the way. Does it work? No. The truth is, I'm going to scrape the pavement. That's what will happen to me. And if God says, if you don't have a wedding garment on, if you don't trust in Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven, you're not going into heaven. No matter what religion you practice, no matter how many times you do this, that, or the other thing, then God says it, it's not going to change because I want to believe something else. Make sure you had the wedding garment on. Accept that wonderful invitation. Yes, there are some who make excuses, and then there are others who become violent, and there are others who are indifferent. But thank God there are those who are willing to accept the free invitation to come in to the wedding feast. That's why it says many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? Well, some people get all worried about that. Well, I think I'm called, but how do I know I'm chosen? That's it. It's not complicated. Well, garments are offered. I'm called. I'm invited. So what do? I respond to the call. If I respond to the call, I become one of the chosen. That's not complicated. Take the garments, the garment of salvation. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, He has clothed me with a garment of salvation. What a beautiful picture. The King is inviting us to a wedding feast. He's inviting us into heaven. God is inviting the human race into heaven. And we, the servants of God, the servants of the King, are inviting others to come in. You're going to go to people and they're going to say, I can't come. I don't want to come. I'm not going to come. Okay, well, go find somebody else who will. Go find somebody else who will. That doesn't mean the offer doesn't still stand. As long as they have breath, the offer stands. It's not us that will condemn them. It will be God. It's not us, not our place. We do what the King tells us to do. If somebody is not going to listen, go somebody else who will. Because there will be people who will. There will be people who will. There will be people who are broken, people who are desperate, people who realize they're lost sinners who need a Savior. Share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, the one person who tried to sneak in, no. He wasn't a true believer. He wasn't somebody who had accepted Christ because he didn't have wedding garment on. Jesus is making it very clear. You need to come to the feast, but you have to come God's way. You want to go to heaven. Oh, everybody seems like they want to go to heaven, but they don't want to come God's way. They want to come any way they want to. Bring their sin with them. Bring their own ideas with them. Oh, well, who needs Jesus? Well, you know, there's lots of pathways to God. No, there isn't. There's only one way Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It doesn't matter how many philosophies, religions, groups, clubs come up with new ideas, and some people say, oh, you can believe in God, you can make God whatever you want him to be. God can be that post over there. God's no post. God is God, and he's not changing for anyone. There's no philosophies or anything that will change the mind of God. You can see that the king didn't spare, and he will not spare on the day of judgment if we do not trust him. Now, I remembered an old song, and I thought I would sing it for you here. And it's kind of a song about this very story. Somewhere here I have it.
I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have got me a wife. I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that I must look to now. I pray thee have me excused. I cannot come. A certain man held a feast on his fine estate in town. He laid a festive table. Cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have got me a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that I must look to now. I pray thee have me excused, I cannot come. The master rose up in anger, called his servants by name, said, go into town, fetch the blind and the lame, fetch the peasant and the pauper, for this I have will. My banquet must be crowded, and my table must be filled. I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have got me a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that I must look to now. I pray thee have me excused, I cannot come. When all the poor had assembled, there still was room to spare. So the master demanded, oh, search everywhere. Search the highways and the byways and tell them to come in. Must be filled before the banquet can begin. I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have got me a wife. I have bought me a cow. I have fears and commitments that I must look to now. I pray thee have me excused. I cannot come. God has written a lesson for the rest of mankind. If we're slow in responding, he may leave us behind. He's preparing a banquet for that great and glorious day. When the Lord and Master calls us, be certain not to say, I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble. I have got me a wife, I have bought me a cow, I have fields and commitments that I must look to now. I pray thee have me excused, I cannot come.
It's often very grievous to my soul when I've shared the gospel with people and they don't come. It's a heartbreaking thing for me. And there's times in my life when it's been very graphic. When God has placed on my heart someone. I remember a young man broke down outside of my, out right in the turn. And I stopped. I went out to help him. He was broke down on the road. A young man, 19 years old. And I said, let's see if we can find what's wrong. And he said, well, my battery's died, and it's like the alternator's not working. And I got a flashlight and began to look. And sure enough, a little wire had come off. And I said, well, we can fix that right here. But an urgency came over me to share with him that he needed Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I pleaded with him. I actually remember doing it right on the road. I said, do you know Jesus Christ? And he said, I don't have any time for that. He said, I'm a young man. He said, you know, maybe when I get older, I'll trust in Jesus Christ. He said, you know, I understand what you're trying to tell me because I shared the gospel with him plainly and simply. But I said, you don't know how long you got. I said, you need Jesus. I said, you didn't break down here by accident. God put me in your path to tell you you need to accept Christ. And he told me his name. And I said, I'm urging you. And it was the day after that, a person was killed in a car accident up around Judic. And here it was, that young man. It was the last call for him. The last call. And I don't say that to scare people. I said it because it is urgent. We don't know when the last call comes for any of us, do we? We have no idea when last call comes. But all to be ready to respond now is always the time to respond. And I could tell you other stories, but my encouragement, my urgency is for those who are here and those who may be listening on the internet or wherever, now is the time. Just come to Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior. And if you do, it's settled. It's settled. Had the wedding garment on. Know that your sins are forgiven. White as snow in the sight of Almighty God. And God will never turn you away. Never. If you have Christ as your Savior. Isn't it wonderful to know that that's the case? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just ask you now for your mercy and grace. And we pray that men and women and boys and girls will come. And they will give their lives to Jesus, Lord. They will find you. And Lord, we live in a broken world. And there are so many people out there who do need the Lord. So we're not out of room or time or places, Lord. We can go and share and invite people to come to the banquet. Thank you, Jesus, that you're inviting. And Lord, we know that many will not get in because they refuse to come. May, Lord, everyone in this room be sure. And may, Lord, many more come and have Christ as their Savior before you come in your power and glory. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.